a human body, just be impressed that God made us and that we are special. Again, you know, we don't need to be told you're special because of how you feel. That's not why you're special. And how you identify doesn't make you special. What makes you special is God in heaven created you and formed you. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And, you know, I just got some thoughts. You know, animals live out their lives principally on God-given instincts. That's why you see your house pets do what they do. You see the animals in your yard do what they do. It's because of instincts. And it's fascinating. And again, you can always find the YouTube video of the one monkey dragging the other monkey to safety because it valued that monkey's life. What? Listen, don't look at that and apply that to the human world. They can imitate our behavior. We're not imitating their behavior. God made them with instincts. He made us special. But animals do live on that. But only in a very limited way can they learn tricks and responses taught to them by trainers. I mean, think about this for a second. You have never, let's say you have two dogs as pets. You have never taught this dog how to do a trick and then that dog teach the other dog how to do a trick. That doesn't happen. Ask dolphin trainers and circus performers. When they work with an animal, they don't say, now, go teach your kind. They don't do that. You have to then spend that much time and invest in that other animal. That's the difference between us. You don't see animals do that. They're never capable of passing on these tricks to the other animals. But man is made in the image of God. We are easily able not only to learn and to imitate, but to use our intellect to bring variety in our life. Think about the variety that we have and what we wear and how we look and what we eat and where we go. I mean, don't underestimate variety. It's so exciting to be able to talk to these people and then to talk to these people and just the variety we have in life on places to go. Man can choose that. Animals don't possess that desire to have variety in life. We can look at the world that we have around us, our environment, and we can change it. You know, I used to hang out with Dan Fortner a lot in my younger years. If some of you may remember Dan Fortner, a longtime member here. One time I was over at Dan's house and he had a tractor and all the windows were gone in the tractor. And I'm like, what happened to all your windows? And he said, they all got smashed out. I said, why'd they get smashed out? He says, see that river that goes through my property? I said, yeah. He goes, I didn't like the direction it was going, so I wanted to change it. And so he's down there with his tractor changing the environment. That's only Dan Fortner would want to do that. And in doing so, he got into the riverbank and smashed out all his windows in his tractor. But man can do that. We attempt to change our environment. We don't like the way the walls look. We paint them. We don't like what this has. We add to it. We want something to be beautiful here. We do that. Animals don't do that. My cats never walked into the room and said, I think this should be over here. They don't do that. We are special. We are so special. You know, we contribute to the welfare of others. Humans do that. There's something inside of us that desires the welfare of others to be good also. Yeah, I love that. We consider the worth of everything in our attention. And whether we know that or not, we do that. Sometimes we do that in a judgmental way, and sometimes we do that just in a natural way where we can just look at things and just consider its worth. And I don't necessarily mean its monetary value, but the preciousness of it. I mean, that is so unique. And God has created man for the glory and honor of himself. Himself being God, not himself being man. God has created us for his own glory. God desired to be in a relationship with a group of beings that could choose right and wrong. A group of beings that could worship and experience joy. That's what God wanted. God wanted to be around people and to receive honor from beings that could love. You know, this is what God wanted. God wanted to have a relationship with people that wanted to have, or with things that wanted to have a relationship with him. And this truth distinguishes the human race from every other creature. You know, birds do not choose to serve the Creator. Now, God takes care of the birds. The Bible talks about that. Jesus mentions that he'll take care of the birds and they don't worry, but they don't worship either. Birds can't do that. God did not choose, he did not desire to have a relationship with birds. He wanted to have a relationship with mankind. I don't know if you read, and we'll get into some Bible passages, don't worry, in a minute. I don't know if you read in your Bible reading this week, but in Job chapter 33, verse 4, this was maybe yesterday or the day before, Job said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." And so when we talk about that, it was perfect timing in our Bible reading to read that. I want to talk about the human body today and the human soul and the human spirit. When we talk about humans, we're comprised of three elements, and that is body, soul, and spirit. And this unique combination, now this is really fascinating, body, soul, and spirit. And this unique combination of these three parts makes you special to God. And here's why I say that. Animals, angels, plants, they might all possess one or two of body, soul, or spirit. But nothing under heaven except humans possess all three, body, soul, and spirit. And that was what makes us special to God. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Man, we are different. We are composed of body, soul, and spirit. And so let's talk about that. So the first thing I want to talk about is body. God's creation of the human was and is, it's spectacular. It is just amazing to think of our bodies. I have a poor representation of one, but I feel that I can talk about it with some understanding because the human body is a complex creation that exposes the awesomeness of God. And let me just kind of give you some facts about the human body that, again, not wow to me, not wow, look at you, but wow, look at God and what he's done. But the human body is, we're made up of a bunch of chemical elements. I think you understand that. We're 70% water, so that's hydrogen and oxygen. We're 70% water, the human body is. Now, out of the human body, what we're made up, you can find 99% of us is made up of six elements. So we have hydrogen and oxygen because that makes water, but we also have carbon, we have nitrogen, we have calcium, I think we understand that, we have phosphorus. 99% is made up of that. And then there's the leftover 1%. The leftover 1% of the human body is sodium, you understand that, potassium, I think we can see that, sulfur, and chlorine. So that is what, that's all that's in us are those elements that make up the human body. All of those elements can be found in the earth's crust. Now, if you know your Bible, that's pretty cool, right? I mean, exactly. God, and let me just say this is wild. And if you have time and you have a brain and you want to experience this, the Jewish community has a interesting look at creation. And they say, the rabbis teach, there is a purposeful difference between the word created, the word made, and the word formed. And all of those are used in Genesis, but they're also used out throughout the Bible and other places. And then they say, if you look at created, and you look at made, and you look at formed, if you look at if it's talking about the body, or if it's talking about the soul, or if it's talking about the spirit, it changes a lot and illuminates a lot, says the Jewish people. Now, where they fall off for me, and the reason I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time teaching that, is because when we get to the New Testament, what they're saying is not 100% consistent with what Jesus Christ says about eternity and soul and spirit. So it is fascinating, though, because they do have some truth about the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we'll talk about some of that. It's so fascinating, though. But God formed man out of the earth, is what Genesis says. The reason why I didn't say that he created man out of the earth is because the earth was already created, and so he formed out of something that he already created. That's where they're talking about when you look at the words and the Hebrew for those words. It's really fascinating. It's exciting. Again, we don't have time to look at every one of those occurrences. It's wonderful, though, because there is a lot of truth when God says he created something, formed something, or made something. It's phenomenal. But let's keep talking about the body. The human body has 30 trillion cells. Okay, I remember fifth grade health. So you have nerve cells, you have skin cells, you have red blood cells, you have fat cells, But you have cells, and we have 30 trillion of them inside our body. And get this, each cell can do 10,000 different functions. And everyone in the science community, whether they're on this side of creation or this side of evolution, agree with these facts. Some just think we came from a muck puddle. Some think we came from God. But the result is we have 30,000 cells that can do 10,000 functions each. That's phenomenal. That's amazing. That's impressive. Each cell has 1 trillion bits of information in it. You know those old people that take a phone camera and then they're like, oh, I can't save the camera because I ran out of room on my phone. Does anyone know any old people like that? My parents are like that. They can't take any pictures because their storage is full. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We all know an older person that can't take a picture or save a picture because their storage is full. Cells, each cell holds 1 trillion bits of information. And we have 30 trillion cells. We are so complex. And that's just cells, you know. And think about this. If, and again, universally accepted, the cells in the brain, they're long and slender. The reason why they're long and slender is because that is a more efficient shape to send and receive information. The cells that surround your heart, they are more full of mitochondria. Okay, what's mitochondria? Mitochondria is the energy-producing part of the cell because cells around your heart need more energy because they're rapidly moving. I think we can understand stuff like that. Cells in our respiratory system, they're capable of taking oxygen and extracting carbon dioxide and expelling it from your body. All our cells are different, but they're so unique and impressive in the way that they work. And all these cells work together to make our human body work efficiently, and we take it all for granted. It's all happening right now inside of us, and we don't even feel it. We don't even feel it. But not only that, our brain has 16 million neurons in our brain. And not only that, our brain has 120 trillion connection boxes inside our brain. 120. People say, you know, they're like, I had a, you know, I blacked out for a little minute. Well, you have 120 trillion connection boxes inside your brain. Your nerve pulses that go from whatever your pain point is to your brain travels 300 miles per hour inside your body to go from wherever it's experiencing nerve to your brain to the reaction. 300 miles an hour, you have signals going on. And so that's why sometimes you're like, oh, I got a headache. That's why. You have these functions going on inside of you. But let's not only talk about that. We have the gift of expression. Oh, my dog smiles. Okay, that's cute. We have the gift of expression. We can, listen, on average, now this is different. This is different, but on average, we speak about 10,000 words a day. And I know some people are like, well, Don speaks way more than Quint. I totally understand that. It's all based on age. It's based on culture. It's based on gender. But on average, we speak about 10,000 words a day. But get this, our face can express 4,000 different communications just from the muscles in our face. 4,000 different communications. I've seen 3,999 for my wife. Wait for that smile. But it's coming. I know it's in there because I read it. But our face can do that. And then get this. And some of you, you're looking over at your husband. You're going, yeah, this ain't true. Because, you know, but our ears has 24,000 hairs in it. Some are longer than others. I get it. Trim that thing. But our ears have 24,000 hairs that pick up vibrations that make noise for us to hear. That's amazing. I mean, God just really, we are so complex at these, and I'm just keeping high level stuff. Let me tell you one more. Our heart pumps in our lifetime 55 million gallons of blood. 55 million. I did a lot of research on, well, what's the average gas station pump in a day and how much is the average, you know, just trying to find something to compare that we would understand. But 55 million gallons of blood in our lifetime is a heart pump that very seldom has to be serviced, checked. You know, sometimes we got to do a little something with our ticker, a little maintenance here and there. But when you take care of it, it's amazing how well it works. And you never have to remind it to work. It just works. You know, again, It's Psalm. Go to Psalm 139. Maybe you should underline this. Go to Psalm 139. And we'll jump off here. Psalm 139. Because I said all that to say this in Psalm 139. And I think if you know your Bible and you know your Psalms, you know a verse that I'm going to read. In Psalm 139, verse 14. This is why we say all that. We say all that not because we can brag. You don't understand, maybe, I don't think you do understand, the level of hate on the internet and in blogs and in writing and in publishing for Christians who say that we're the crowning achievement of God's creation. We say that because we believe it. And then people who are not Christians say, you're so prideful to think that. That's what they say. Christians are arrogant because they think that. Did you just hear everything I just said? I didn't even talk about the eye or any of the other parts of the body. We're not arrogant. We recognize our value. We recognize our worth to our Creator. And verse 14 in Psalm 139 says, I will praise thee. I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to be prideful that God made me. But I'm going to be praising God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So that's the body. I just read this. Let's move on to the soul. And we have our Bibles open, and we'll just keep them open. We're going to read some verses about the soul. But God gave not only man a body to house all this and to function and all that, but God gave us a soul. And I want you to think about this for a second. The soul is the self-conscience that we have. The soul is what makes you, you. Okay? And when God took the elements that he had already created and he formed them into a body that was Adam's body, he then did what? He breathed into that body. Okay? When he breathed into that body, he gave that body life. Now, notice, nowhere in the creation story does he say he did that with penguins or pandas or anything like that. He just created them. He spoke them into existence, created them. But with man, he breathed into a body and he gave it life. If you read Leviticus, going back to what the Jewish people teach, you read Leviticus, it says that the soul is in the blood and the blood is life. So when God breathed, and I'm paraphrase, but we understand that. When God breathed into man, now notice this, when Adam and Eve had a baby, they didn't bring the carcass to God and say, I need you to breathe into this one too. Or the next one. They never did that. God breathed into Adam, gave him life, and life is eternal for man. You're going to spend life somewhere. You're going to spend the rest of your life eternally somewhere because God's breath is eternal. And that's why when man now can have offspring, that offspring is alive when it's created and formed inside the woman because God breathed into it. Okay? You never see that in any other animal because we're not animals. We're not from animals. We have this soul or this life. And it's passed on. It's called the medium between the body and the spirit. The soul is. Each part of man, body, soul, and spirit, is vital. I want you to understand that. But according to Jesus, go to Matthew chapter 10. According to Jesus, I would say one of the most important parts is the soul based on this verse. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Look what Jesus says about Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, look at verse number 28. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10, 28, Christ speaking, he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Christ valued the soul. The soul, again, makes you who you are. That's what the soul of man is. Now, it's also called the inner man. Go to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because I want you to understand that. And again, this is where I go away from what most rabbis teach about body, soul, and spirit because when I go to the New Testament, I see these parts and they describe it a little different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that's the body, that's what we just talked about, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know what that verse means? That verse means when you go to the doctor and the doctor's got his flashlight and he's looking up your nose, and he's looking in your ear and he's looking in your throat and he's listening to your heart. He's dealing with what is seen, but the doctor can't deal with what is not seen because the soul is not seen. That's what these verses say. The man can't see the soul. Okay, we can see the response of your soul or the consequences of your soul in your actions and in your behaviors and who you are, but it's unseen. That's what these verses are also referring to. They're eternal. We understand that. We looked at that already. They are not seen, but the things that are seen are temporal. It's called the inner man. Also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So the soul is the source of our emotions. I want you to understand that. The soul is the source of our will. Our ability to reason and to understand. It is the awareness of ourselves. That's what the soul of man is. In other words, our soul is the real you. Amen. The real you. You know, everyone says character is who you are when no one else is around. Your soul is who you are. Who you are. You want to know the condition of your soul? Your inward man? It's who you are. Now, I have an opinion about every one of you. Doesn't matter. Your soul is who you are. I want you to understand that. It's how you feel. But it's not only who you are and how you feel, it's why you feel that way. Your soul is so complex, and it can't be seen. A doctor can't treat your soul. We have other medicine for that. It is separate from the body. It is immaterial, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It's the invisible part of you. You know, humankind has a unique soul from the very moment of conception. Why do I say that? Because God breathed life into Adam, and you don't have to breathe into humans from there on. As soon as conception takes place, the soul is present. The soul is present before the body is formed inside the mother. We got to get this message out. We got to understand. It is eternal. No animal lives forever. The soul that gives that person life is eternal. Our souls are eternal. We can read, we can write in a language no animal reads and write. No animal expresses themselves like humans. We can worship freely from our own free will. Why can we do that, and why do we have a desire to do that? It's our soul. It's who we are. The soul is what God has given us to express our individualism. And there are boundaries in His Word that guide us on how to live. But our soul is what prompts us to express this. Now, God also created man with a spirit. And the human spirit is given to man directly from God. And let me just say this about the human spirit. It is the spirit that can be quickened or made alive. And we'll talk about why it needs to be made alive. But when Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 talks about the quickening of the spirit, it needs to be made alive. If it needs to be made alive, that means its current state in mankind would be that it would be dead. Now we'll understand why that is here in a second, but it can be made alive. And God originally made Adam and Eve perfectly tuned to Him. Have you ever had those days where you're doing something that you and your spouse just both enjoy, and you're like, we are so in tune with each other right now. This is awesome. I'm thinking what you're thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking. We're both gleefully happy. Things are going good. Could you imagine that? And that's just for a moment until you say something stupid. Adam and Eve were in perfect tune with God. Amen. Until they weren't. But they were created to be in perfect tune with God. That means their spirit was alive. It was made alive. What happened was, and we'll look at this in the weeks to come, is they sinned. And when they sinned, God said, you're going to be spiritually and physically dead. Your spirit died. Now, then the result of that is they're going to have a physical death as well. And we'll talk all about that when we get to it. Because in God's mercy, he has allowed man to have a quickened spirit through Jesus Christ. And we'll talk all about that. But the human spirit is called our God conscience. In John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's in John. Did you hear what I said in Job? Job, if I go back to Job, it says, the spirit of God hath made me. Pretty consistent. The spirit, because God is a spirit. The spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty have given me life. Do you see the consistency in the Bible? Everyone's like, oh, it's so inconsistent. No, it's not inconsistent. Your thinking is inconsistent. The Bible is very consistent. So when we talk about God as a spirit and God has put a spirit into us, I want you to understand the ability to respond and interact with God separates us from the animal kingdom. We can respond to the creator of the universe. I mean, that's just fascinating. Our made alive spirit is what allows us to worship. If your spirit's been quickened through salvation, you can worship the Creator. God endowed us with the Spirit so that we could interact with Him, who is a spirit. That's why He's given us a spirit, because He is a spirit, and His desire is to receive glory and honor from us. So He's given us a spirit. That spirit and that connection was severed through sin, and then God had made a way to reconnect and to quicken the spirit, and that's through Jesus Christ. Our God conscience gives the inner direction in our lives. That's what our God conscience does. Our spirit is fed through the interactions we have with God. Through reading His Word, through praying, through worship, through attending church and fellowshipping with other people that have like spirit. That feeds our spirit. And then we become more in tune with God. The animals did not get a spirit, only man did. Spirit is what you use to have a relationship with God. And later on, again, in Genesis, we're going to see that Adam and Eve, they lost that connection with God through their sin. Thus, the generations of Adam are not born with a spirit that was made alive. They're born with a body. They're born with a soul because they had life. But their spirit is not alive. It's just how the result of sin worked. Now, human beings, we should be viewed as the crowning jewel of God's creative activity because we are spiritual beings. You know, human beings, we have this unique dignity. Again, it's not pride. It's amazing, again, the non-Christians who say, that's so prideful to think that you're the best that is in the world. Well, we're the reason of the world. It's because of us that God receives glory. And it's not has anything to do with us. It all has to do with Him. And this does not mean we reflect the physical appearance of God when we say that we are God's image bearers. And we've looked at that. Again, God is a spirit. So when we say that we're made in the image of God, it has nothing to do with our physical part, but our spiritual part. And we looked at that last week. Being God's likeness points to the spiritual, not the physical. To be created in the divine image includes having an opportunity to have a relationship with God. We have the opportunity. And again, I don't know if you've noticed for the last couple of weeks during preaching, it's all about choice. We have the opportunity to have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. We have the opportunity to. And that's through our spirit, the spirit that's inside of man. You know, people can know God. People can love God. People can worship God. We have the opportunity for all that. You know, we can think and we can reason and we can choose between right and wrong. We can look at the world. You read Romans chapter 1 maybe this morning in your Bible reading. If you got down to verses 19 and 20 in Romans chapter 1, we can look at the world and deduce that everything has a creator. Right. We can do that. Now, yeah, listen. I understand. You can teach an animal to do tricks. I get that. My cat fetches. That's so cute. It's so cute. But only man can learn the truth. Animals can see the sun. Sure. They squint just like you and me. But we can see the sunset and see the beauty and appreciate the Creator. That's the difference between us and them. Sure, the sun comes up and the birds tweet. Sure, the rooster crows because of the sun. Sure, they acknowledge creation. Sure, that's great. They wake you up to be fed, not from appreciation of the beauty. And how many times are we like, oh, sun's up, gotta eat? No, we're like, man, what a pretty morning. What a great day to be alive. That's the difference between us and them. Both animals and man were created material and immaterial, but only man was created with the spiritual component inside of us. And human beings, we are extraordinary because we have a spirit that enables us to have a relationship with God. Your cat can't do that. Your dog can't do that. The squirrels don't have a relationship with God. Nothing like that does. Only humans. And humans, we search for significance in ourselves. Absolutely. We question our existence. Rover don't question his existence. He's like, car, squirrel. We question our existence. I mean, think about, you know what those are called? Those are called night questions. Very common, very common. You're laying there in bed, the stillness of the house, you're listening to the refrigerator sound or the air conditioner, and you have those night questions that come into your head. Am I all right? Am I doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? Am I worth anything? You know, all those things that you ask. All the animals don't do that. They can't do that. That's unique to us because we have a spirit. We need to consider the image of God was tarnished when humans sinned, but God made a way for us to get re-entuned with Him and for that spirit to be quickened. Listen, let me just close by saying this, because I think it's we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Not to brag, but to worship. Let me just say this. We are not products of chance processes. Those things that I just mentioned about the 30 trillion cells and the ear hair and that is not a chance process. Absolutely not. It's not a random mutation. We didn't just randomly mutate our DNA into that. I didn't even talk about genomes and DNA and systems. It wasn't billions of years of development to get us to where we are today. You'd think after billions of years, we could still have socks match our pants, but for some reason some guys can't. You're telling me that we had billions of years to choose that? No. No. That's not it at all. We were not formed by evolution. We are descended from a historical Adam and a historical Eve. It's amazing the arguments against their existence. Of course, but I'm not surprised. Not surprised that people argue that there was no Adam. There's Christians that argue that there was no Adam and no Eve, that they just are representations of early man. No, there was an Adam, there was an Eve. God breathed into Adam after he formed him from what he had already created, and then he gave him a soul, which is called life, which is in his blood, which he passed to his offspring. He had a spirit that was perfect, but it was tarnished because of sin. And so that tarnished spirit was passed to his offspring. I don't need a flannel graph to explain this. It's very basic. His body was passed to his offspring. All the components, body, soul, and spirit, were passed to the offspring. The offspring had a problem, though. Sin had tarnished the spirit. But God had a plan. Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not that hard to understand what the Bible says and apply it to us. There was a historical Adam. There was a historical Eve. They were both made in the image of God. Mankind has a history. We have a purpose. And we have an eternal destiny to fulfill. And that eternal destiny is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to pass that on to other people. There is no evidence that you started out as a muck puddle and ended up as a man. There is no evidence of that. You are special. You were created special for God. All right, let's get ready for Big People Church.